Off the Ball Rugby.
We are such a minor sport here. We are competing against these giants. And the only thing we've got is the Wallabies, because rugby league and AFL, they don't have someone wearing a gold jersey all the time.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along to Wednesday night's football show. Plenty to come this hour in terms of previewing the big European ties for the Irish clubs tomorrow night. Shamrock Rovers away to Santa Clara, and we have full live match commentary from Talca Park tomorrow night of Shelburne versus Linfield as well in their first leg. Nathan Murphy's going to be on commentary duty for that one. He is here in studio. Nathan, how are you?
Evening on.
And John Anderson, former Republic of Ireland and Newcastle United defender, is with us on the line as well. John, you can hear us there okay?
I can indeed, yeah.
Busy times at Newcastle United. We may break this down into the two-part story that emerged last night. The Alexander Isak Instagram story that gets circulated widely, instantly. What were your initial feelings when you read the contents of that?
It was a little bit of shock, I suppose, because up to last night, Alexander Isak hadn't said anything. He hadn't come out and spoke publicly to anybody whatsoever. So the statement that he brought out last night came as a little bit of a shock. I suppose you'd have to question the timing of it as well. I think there's a lot of very upset people in the northeast of England, to be quite honest, especially those of a black and white persuasion, who aren't too happy with him at all.
The main thrust of the statement that he posted last night was around his silence allowing people to push their own version of events, and that the reality, in his words, is that promises were made and the club has known my position for a long time. And then he reckons that the club are acting in a misleading way to suggest that the issues are now only emerging. And then he doubles down on the promises point by saying, when promises are broken and trust is lost, the relationship cannot continue. That's where things are for me right now, and why change is in the best interest of everyone, not just myself. He is deliberately vague in what he says, John, about who exactly promised him what.
Yeah, I think that's the $6 million question. Who promised him all these things? Now, if he was promised these things, why did he take so long to... why didn't he put a written transfer request in? Why didn't he, at the end of the season, come out and say, look, I've been promised all these things, I've been promised this, I've been promised that, and the club haven't been forthcoming with it. So because of that, I would like to leave the football club and I'm putting a written transfer request in. That would have been the professional way of doing it. The way that he's gone about it is, it's all cloak and dagger, and it hasn't gone down too well.
It could potentially have led to some losses and maybe some contractual issues. If he did hand in a transfer request, it could have led to some financial penalties for the player. So that might have been the reason for that. But on the other hand, Newcastle United had their say pretty quickly yesterday evening, voicing their disappointment about the social media post. And they said, we are clear in response that Alex remains under contract and that no commitment has ever been made by a club official that Alex can leave Newcastle United this summer. So they talk about wanting to keep their best players, but also understanding players have their own wishes and we listen to their views. We must also take into consideration, and always take into consideration, the best interests of Newcastle United and the team. We have been clear that the conditions of a sale this summer have not transpired and we don't foresee those conditions being met. That does leave the window open a little bit, John, of the conditions being met eventually, i.e. a bigger transfer fee being offered by Liverpool.
Yeah, I don't think it's just down to that, though. The problem that the football club have got, if you get rid of Alexander Isak and you haven't got a replacement to come in, the club's going to be in big trouble, because there's nobody at this moment in time at this football club who can fill the boots of Alexander Isak. There's no ready-made replacement. The club would have to go and purchase somebody. See today that they put a bid in for this at Brentford, but I wouldn't see him as a replacement for Isak. I would see him as a replacement for Callum Wilson. So even if they get Visser, they've still got to go and get somebody else to replace Isak. I know a lot can happen between now and deadline day. We play Liverpool next Monday, which could be a little bit feisty and a little bit lively. So we'll wait and see what happens after that game. But, you know, it's a total mess, to be quite honest, you know, because it sounds like Alexander Isak most definitely doesn't want to be at Newcastle United. He doesn't want to play for Newcastle United again. He doesn't want to pull on a black and white shirt. But he's got 3 years of a contract left. The football club cannot let him go unless they get a replacement in. There's, 2 weeks left of a window, of this transfer window. So if they can get somebody in that time, they may well consider letting Isak go, providing, and it's a big proviso this, that they get the funds that they feel Alexander Isak is worth.
It was clear watching Newcastle at the weekend, John, that they were missing a number nine. They were missing a focal point to their attack, and they'll surely remedy that if he were to go. In terms of the dressing room attitude towards this, obviously dressing rooms have changed quite a lot since you were last in one, but players seem to look after themselves first and foremost. If Newcastle's owners put the foot down and he has to stay, whatever about the supporter reaction, within the dressing room, do you think he'd be reincorporated quite quickly, or is there something about this that's a bit different to your usual transfer saga?
That's a difficult question to answer, to be quite honest, because it's such a tight-knit dressing room. They've got a great camaraderie. They work so hard for each other. They're all in it together. Now, for Isak to do what he's done, it will have upset quite a few people, especially the senior boys in that dressing room. But players being players, if he comes back, we're struggling to score goals. If Isak comes back and then all of a sudden starts hitting the back of the net again, he will be accepted back in. But I think he's got if that is to be the case, the boy's got an awful lot of grovel into this.
Yeah. Do you prefer an unhappy Alexander Isak or a happy Jakob Strand Larsen in your dressing room?
Look, I think Isak's a fabulous player. I think he showed it last season. It's not just the goals that he scores. He creates chances for other people. He brightens the life out of defenders. When he gets one-on-one on the edge of the box with a defender, you expect the ball to end up in the back of the net. He's a quality player, and you don't want to lose your best players. Most definitely, you want to build a side around your best players, and Isak falls into that category. But if he's not happy here, if he doesn't want to be here, if he doesn't want to play for the football club, sometimes it's better. You're better off. Sometimes you're cutting your nose off despite your face, but other times you've just got to say, bite the bullet and say, look, as good as he is, if he doesn't want to be here.
The John Giles era with Off the Ball has come to an emotional end.
Off the Ball wouldn't exist the way it does without the existence of John Giles.
Helped by a plethora of John's friends and family within and without football, we pay tribute to the great man in front of a selected audience.
So we are here tonight to celebrate not just the impact John has had on Off the Ball over the last 20 years or so, but really the unrivaled impact that he's had on Irish football going back 70 years.
This week in the OTB football feed, look out for the full John Giles tribute night.
If we didn't say John was the best player I've ever played with, he would tell you why he was.
Eddie, I might come to that in a minute. Yeah. Yeah.
We speak to John himself about his 7 decades in football, former Leeds teammates Eddie Gray and Joe Jordan, plus tributes from Liam Brady, Brian Kerr and many more.
As you say, it's 20 odd?
23 years.
20 years. Well, they did well to put up with me for 20 years.
Released in 3 parts, we'll drop the first part of the John Giles tribute night on Tuesday morning, and to mark the occasion, it will be available for free for a limited time only. The John Giles tribute, only available in your OTB football feed.
We've got to let him go.
Does it feel like a test of the Saudi ownership? Because if you look at a club with Newcastle's history in recent years, this would be a regular sort of deal where they went out and they spent big, over 60 million to bring one of the best young talents in Europe in. He did a job for them. He scored lots of goals over the last 2.5 years. He developed. And then what happens is you go to a bigger club, and that that can actually, for a lot of sort of mid-ranking teams, be a really good business plan where you can offer that, come do a job for us and we won't stand in your way. Is this the moment where Newcastle say, we're past that now? We are one of those big clubs. We don't sell the best players. And do you think they have the stomach for that fight?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. You know, I think at one time Newcastle would have taken the money for Alexander Isak, but I think we're on a different level now. You know, we're looking to get to where Liverpool are, looking to get where Manchester City are. We don't want to be selling our best players. There's a plan in place here. You know, we've, since Eddie Howe has come in, we've qualified for the Champions League on two occasions. We've won the first domestic trophy in 70 years. So it's heading in the right direction. So it goes back to the answer that I gave you earlier on. You most definitely don't want to lose your best players. You want to build a side around your Isaks, your Gordons, your Tenalis, these type of players. You know, you definitely don't want to be selling them, especially to sides that you see are going to be rivals of yours as well. I think the club, what will be, I suppose, but they definitely, in my opinion, they definitely don't want to lose either.
What's the most likely outcome here, John? Like, it's interesting that you say that the other factors at play here could equally be down to Newcastle's pursuit of a replacement for Isak, as much as it could be Liverpool stumping up the extra £40 million in cash. But if Liverpool do find that extra £40 million, is that it? Like, if they come in right now with a £150 million bid, is that kind of this chapter of the story done?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I think if Liverpool stump up the money, I think the club wouldn't be happy, you know, because it's very, very difficult to replace somebody of the quality of Alexander Isak. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you're getting. If you bring other players in, you're taking a gamble that they're going to hit the ground running and they're going to start scoring goals for you. You know that Isak can do it because we've seen him do it over two seasons. It's one that's going to linger on, I think. You know, I honestly think that Liverpool, after Monday night, after we played them on Monday night, will come back in for another offer. If that offer is accepted or not, we'll just have to wait and see. But this is one that could go right down to the wire. And as I say, if we don't get anybody in the meantime to replace Alexander Isak, I don't see him going anywhere.
Like, if you look at the players and, like, if you kind of judge off reflex, it's evident and beyond obvious that Alexander Isak is a far superior player to Johan Wisse. Wisse did score the exact same amount of goals, other than penalties, open play goals, as Isak in the Premier League last season, played around a similar number of goals. Playing for a weaker team, are we underrating Wisse here a bit?
No, I don't think so. But I think he's a different type of player to Isak. You know, Brentford was set up a certain way, and Bueno and him scored a lot of goals between them. They had a good partnership, and as I said earlier, I think Wisse coming in would be a replacement for Callum Wilson, who's left the football club. I don't see Wisse as a replacement for Alexander Isak.
Who would that person be, do you think?
Toss of a coin. It may well come down to who's available and who you can get in. You know, they've gone for Sesko, couldn't get him. You know, they put bids in for other players that they haven't been able to get. Ekitike, they went for and Liverpool got. So, you know, they've been beaten to it on a few occasions. So who else is left out there? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, the Ekitike thing is an interesting wrinkle in all of this, given it's Liverpool who want to sign him. I wondered, were Liverpool not quite aware of how badly Isak wanted to leave? And I think at the start of the summer, we all thought it might be another year at least before Isak would maybe look for a move. Maybe Liverpool were under that same illusion.
I have to say, after the cup final last season, the league cup final, the last half a dozen games or so, Isak seemed to lose his edge. Now, whether there was something in that and whether you read anything into that or not, I don't know. But you just get the impression that after the cup final, he felt that he'd done his business here and he wanted to be out. But as I say, I think he's gone about it entirely the wrong way. He should have, at the end of the season, put a transfer request in, made his feelings known then. And the club, given the club ample time to get a replacement in, if that was the case.
Like, this has obviously become a complete mess. We are sort of rewarding whoever shouts the loudest by having most sympathy for them as a club, and Trent Alexander-Arnold leaves Liverpool and Liverpool fans are outraged, and they will say, well, this is very different because he tried to leave for free when he could have gone for 100 million himself and he could have given the club something back for all they have given him. Now we have Newcastle outraged. Nobody cares about the Brentford situation where if Vissa leaves, maybe they end up being relegated because of that, and he's doing the exact same thing. He, you know, he's going on strike. He doesn't want to play. If they go after Jacob Strand-Larsen, Wolves, having already lost Mateus Cunha, there's a very good chance they get relegated. But because, again, maybe smaller club, there's not the same level of sympathy. This is just the way of the world, John. This is just modern football. Like, don't get too attached.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it is. Yeah, you know, I think loyalty is a word that's shouldn't be associated with football. You know, we see players come and go. You know,
and that works both ways, John. Like that works both ways.
You don't see players staying at football clubs for 10, 12 years now for the length of their careers because of the money that's involved in the game. Players move about because they get big paydays out of it. So it's a catch-22 situation, really. Players have got to look after themselves and look after their families as well. I know they get paid an awful lot of money, but you know, if they can double that money going elsewhere, it's like any other job, I suppose. If another employer comes along and wants to offer you twice the salary you're on, what are you going to do? You're going to go, yes, thanks very much, I'll have that.
Not us, John. We're here for the long haul. The one little wrinkle I wonder in this, is somebody been shaping towards a get-off for Isak? So Alan Shearer has been talking, and I think he's trying to twist it more into an issue with the agent rather than the player. And is there a possibility here, maybe, if Isak was to return and was to end up staying, where you just dump the agent, you lay all the blame on him, and he tries to go solo? So Shearer said, what an effing mess his agent has made of this. If I was him, I'd get his agent in the room, sack him on the spot immediately, because he's meant to be giving him the advice to sign that six-year deal in 2022. There's no get-out clause in that. And he goes on and really tears in to what the agent has done. I mean, it's ridiculous. And to take anyone's word in football, it's nonsensical to say that someone said, oh, I'll be able to get it out at the end of the season. Really? I mean, come on. It's not a good look on the player or the agent not to go out and train.
Yeah, I think agents have got an awful lot of answer for in football. You know, they get in players' heads, but I think an awful lot of players are their own bosses at the end of the day. You know, they make their own decisions. They make their own decisions. They're bright enough to say, well, actually, this is what I want to do. And you get the impression that even though the agent's been in his ear, that Alexander Isak deep down wants to go to Liverpool. You know, it's whether the agent's putting thoughts in his head or whatnot. At the end of the day, the decision should be down to the player, and the player's decided that he wants to go elsewhere.
Interesting stuff. Hopefully we will have a conclusion to this sooner rather than later. I think everything's been said over the past 24 hours with regards to the club and to the player. John Anderson, former Republic of Ireland and Newcastle United defender, thanks a million for joining us.
Pleasure.
Cheers. John Anderson there in the line. We'll take quick break.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.